Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
Let's overreact. Indeed, it's your host, Monica Mohoya.
It's your girl, Angela Wambui.
And it's your girl, Lash Angela. And we are back in Kofisi 9 offices and wrapping up the first season of Overreact in this magnificent space that has hosted us for our first ever season of Overreact. We've had so much fun. And what better way than to end it with none other than
Natalia. Привет.
Привет.
I just spoke Russian, guys. Yes, we have a very beautiful guest in the house. She's a professional in the inner child regression therapy, and she's here to talk about mental wellness and the mental health of women. Because in this country, the suicide rate apparently is higher in male, but unfortunately, I think it doesn't matter, or women mental health is not given the importance that it deserves, because women more oftentimes they are the ones who are subjected to childhood trauma from parenting the parents, being a child parent to the siblings, and a lot of abuse and assaults happen to women. So when you find out, like, women when they grow up, they have a lot of baggage and barriers. And, you know, we have very good walls, you know, to play the strong African narrative. So we're going to be delving in that conversation. So welcome and tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Monica. So I've been living in Kenya for quite many years. I came here by chance and I found beautiful country. I found beautiful people and I stayed here. So I was working for many years in international organization and I have retired recently and I'm taking my kind of full position as a regression therapist, inner child integration therapist, clinical hypnotherapist and family constellation practitioner.
Wow, amazing. Girls, have you had that before?
No.
all very new to me. Yes. But really exciting.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, you're going into the deep-rooted conversations that are supposed to be, you know, those roots that are supposed to be uprooted from the past to, you know, for people to be present. So tell us, what is the importance of mental wellness and mental health for girls and for women? You know, with the different stages that we go through, like how much, you know, can you emphasize of the importance of checking your mental wellness? Yeah.
There was a report which was done in October last year. Unfortunately, I don't remember the source. Yeah. In which it was said that women are 5 times more likely to have mental disorders, psychological issues than men. Yes. And what is it due to? Actually, many reasons. First of all, social structure. Yeah. You know, we live in patriarchal society. So the ladies, the girls are valued much less than the boys in the family. Yeah. And girls are most likely less educated. Yeah. In many cases, in majority of families, they are subjected to more violence in the families than the boys, especially sexual violence and sexual exploitation in the girls. Yeah, mostly when women, girls grow up and they become young women, very often they have to make a choice between a career and a family, which men don't go through. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So women also can get psychologically kind of dismantled when they go through hormonal changes, which men don't go through so much, yeah?
Like, yep.
When they grow up, become teenagers and start becoming a woman, when they go through the pregnancy, when they go, you know, what is that syndrome?
Postpartum depression.
Postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And also, like, when they stop menstruating.
Menopause.
Through menopause, yeah. Which is a huge, like, I myself really has gone through a hard times when I was going through a menopause, really, I can tell that. Yeah. So women are much more likely to become victims of depression and mental issues.
When we talk about depression, how do you identify what is depression? Because sometimes someone will say, I'm depressed, but really maybe they're just stressed, or vice versa, or they downplay without knowing or knowingly, they downplay their what they're going through to minimizing it to stress, but really they're depressed and they need to find a way to, like, address that rather than doing the typical thing, putting it in a what I call a champagne bottle, and then one day you just pop. So how, anyone who's listening, how do I identify actually what I'm going through is really stress, but or what I'm going through is really depression?
I think it's due to medical assessment, which can clearly tell you what is it that you're experiencing. Is it a stress or depression? I'm not a clinical doctor, so I cannot diagnose, yeah? But stress can definitely lead to depression. I'm not sure if depression can lead to stress, probably not, yeah? But stress, it's a lot of responsibilities, it's issue at work, in the family, you know, even traffic can cause lots of stress, yeah? And depression is actually, it has such a multitude of symptoms. So it's only require medical assessment to really understand whether you're depressed, yeah? Or sometimes you can be burnt out, which is like deeper and stronger depression, yeah? Burnt out where people completely cannot function. So, and the symptoms of depression can be so different. You can undereat or overeat. You can undersleep or oversleep. You don't have strength waking up in the morning. You don't experience joy at life. Even somebody gifts you flower, bouquet, it's just everything is great. There is no colors in your life. That's what I would describes a depression.
Makes a lot of sense, and I think a lot of, especially, you know, we are living in a society where, first of all, COVID has brought so much pressure from an economical point of view, or you might find yourself in a relationship where you typically did endure some form of abuse or violence, but now you can't escape because there was lockdown and all this, and so you see these statistics of suicide rate going up, of GBV going up, and people not knowing where to go to and who to talk to. And so it becomes overbearing. And I can see why you're saying that, you know, the statistics show that women are, and it's because I think we, maybe you ladies can agree, is we have been nurtured in a sense to withhold pain, right? So if I'm pregnant, I have to withhold that pain.
Yeah, just go on with it. How many people were pregnant before you? I mean, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
What's
so they invalidate
exactly.
your pain. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're told to toughen up. As much as they tell men to toughen up, and you know, you're a boy, you don't cry. And that's why men also suppress a lot of emotions. And there's this narrative, especially like where we grew up in African households, they always say girls mature faster than boys. So why do they say that? Because we have an intuition, or is it that we have a lens in terms of like seeing things from a different
I think point because of many more responsibilities girls and women carry on compared to boys. Because boys are allowed to play for quite a long time, is it?
Yeah. It's true. Oh my God.
Yeah. By six, a girl is supposed to be home.
Or
yeah.
Like if you're the older sister, I don't know, maybe Angela, you can relate. Like
definitely. We are all older sisters.
No, because she has like loads of younger siblings. So did you have to like... There was, you have to be back home, you need to make sure they're doing their homework kind of thing? Or?
No, definitely as a big sis, as a firstborn, you automatically do take on that role of being a second parent. Mm. You do view your siblings as your kids somehow. And if they do get hurt or they get in trouble, you're the one that's questioned. Why is your sister crying? Or why did she get in trouble? And I'm like, I wasn't there.
Yeah. So I think, I think some of the things that perhaps women have learned to endure is purely maybe from a nurturing point of view, where you just bear it because that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, if my husband beat me, no, you're not supposed to leave him. You have to figure out.
Yes. You remember that case recently, this Nigerian singer, she was singing in the church?
Yeah, and the husband is a pastor.
Yeah, and she was killed by the husband. Imagine,
so crazy.
Because you're a pastor's wife and you're a renowned artist or musician, you're not supposed to leave a toxic marriage. And probably most of the, you know, church members, they knew what she was going through. Her family, everyone knew, but, you know, it took her death to admit that, you know, she was going through the pain.
Yeah. Gender-based violence is real.
Oh, yeah.
And women are not encouraged to leave relationships. Men are more free to walk out of the relationship than the women. Because in many societies, women are looked down at when family disintegrates, even the husband and wife get divorced or separation, because it's up to a woman, quote unquote, you understand me, to keep the family together.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it has to be 50-50 relationship, 100%. Yeah, between men and a woman. Yeah, and women are very often blamed when the husband walks away. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't you keep him? Yeah, he didn't make his back so warm.
Why couldn't he keep me?
Sorry?
Right. Why couldn't he keep me?
Yeah. Oh, that's another question.
Yes.
That's so interesting. And I always feel like women are more harshly judged, whether it be in relationships, whether it be in work. And I don't know why that is. But you talked about, you know, societal expectations. So even now, like in the workplace, let's say, you might see a woman progressing in her career. But again, in the workplace, there are different types of abuses that females do face. So whether it is sexual harassment or abuse, you know, you still have to go to work. So what is your word of advice when it does come to navigating through work, and especially maybe, say, a field that's more male dominated? You have a lot more hurdles to overcome.
Definitely the higher levels of like administration and business, the management, there are more men there than women, definitely, yeah? And of course, it's male-dominating society in the companies, especially in the high level. And it's everywhere across the world. So if a woman senses and feels that she is experiencing, like, not sexual abuse, but sexual manipulation, mm-hmm. you know? Because very often, I don't think it starts like, okay, I like you, girl, let's go to, we are going to a hotel tonight, you know? Yeah, it's it slightly, does. Yeah. It does happens like that, but I think mostly it happens in a subtle way, you know, touch here, you know, leaning over there, you know, touching in a slightly like in an over-friendly way. And some women, they recognize the signs. They feel uncomfortable, but they're not able to voice it. Yeah, they're not able to put a label to it, what is happening to them. Yeah, like sexual advances. Yeah. So, like, from my point of view, the clarity and addressing it straight, it's the only way. Not in confrontational way, but in straightforward way, to put everything, things in the open. Because if you don't, one thing will lead to another, and another, and another, and then
before
you're completely,
that,
yeah.
compromising situation.
Yeah, exactly. So the best way would be, when you feel uncomfortable, just acknowledge it and say to the person who makes you uncomfortable, excuse me, but I'm sorry, but this touch makes me uncomfortable. Mm. Yeah.
I think when you call people out, so sometimes people are not even conscious, but when you call them, they're like, oh my God, you can even just see the color leave their skin mm-hmm. and their eyes pop out of their eye sockets. And so it really
That's
does.
That's an amazing expression.
Yeah. It's like, oh wow, God, yeah. I mean, I've overstepped. But how do I tap into my inner voice? You know, that voice that will allow me to call somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you are in my space, but I am frozen.
Yeah. A lot of people tend to freeze up.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of people. And it's like, okay, I'll give you like two parts answer. People, especially women, gets frozen because they encounter trauma in their childhood. So, and what happens in trauma, you either freeze, you fight, flight, or freeze. Yeah?
Yeah.
And as a small child or a girl being abused by a man, you're not in a position to fight. Very often, you cannot flight, you cannot run away also, so you have to freeze. That's where it comes from, the freezing part. How to address it, how to find that inner voice, it requires a lot of inner work, especially if you're traumatized as a child. Yeah? The first step is recognition what's happening to you. Very often, we go through life without understanding, without evaluating ourselves and our feelings. Is it?
Yeah.
Something happened? Okay, put it aside, you know, it's in the past, go on. You don't evaluate, you don't dissect what happened to you. And I think that's the first step you do. You understand that you are uncomfortable. Then think, what exactly makes you uncomfortable? Okay, that man is touching me, that makes me uncomfortable. Bingo, you're there, that's the first step. So the next time he touches you, you know why it makes you uncomfortable, and then you may find your voice to say, sir, it makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. But of course, the deeper work is needed to address childhood traumas, especially in the girls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you about how the society has perpetuated mental illness in women. And you said, you know, sometimes we are just made to freeze. Sometimes there's a theory I think I came across, and it was event versus the emotion. Event has passed, but how has that emotion, you know, defined you from that point of the event to who you are. So it's in recognizing, experiencing those emotions and seeing how they actually affect you as a person or a victim. And I think sometimes as a society it tells us, oh, you can't speak out like that. You don't talk to men like that. You're lying.
What did you do?
Yeah, like, what did you do? What were you wearing? Mm-hmm. Were you drunk? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many excuses that society makes for, you know, for all these things that happen to women. Yeah.
And that's how the women put in a box. You don't speak about matters like this. You know, how many rapes reported? How many rapes are reported? Like, I don't know, maybe 10%, because you don't speak about it. How the society, you'll never find a husband afterwards, yeah?
Mm-hmm. How is the biological clock?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're tainted, how? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very often women are put in the box. You don't speak about it. You're not allowed to disclose something. So what we call shut off commands. And when you grow with shut off commands, girls don't behave like that. I remember when I was learning hypnotherapy, we had a demo session. So we learn only not only theory, but we also learn practice. So and there was a demo session on one of our students where she as a grown up woman, she had difficulty to conceive. Now, how it impacts women, the trauma impacts women. And during the demo session, what was revealed that she was about 5-6 years old child, and she had a girlfriend, say girl of the same age, and somebody came from town and brought new clothes for that girl. So she went to her friend, and they were trying clothes, this and that, different ones. So she put nice trousers, cropped trousers, and she ran home to show her mom how beautifully she looks in trousers. And mom looked at her and said, "Are you a boy? You're not allowed to wear trousers. Get the dirty thing off you."
Wow.
And imagine at that moment, the energy of her mother's spoken word literally fried her ovaries. They became blocked.
What?
Yes.
We're having a drop mic situation.
I know. The ovaries are not overreacting right now.
We are not over. Oh. We are not overreacting. Imagine. So how it's in tune with your program, isn't it?
Oh my God.
And it took many years for her to come to this training and fry the ovaries.
Wow.
That's this.
It's just a reminder how we've got to be really careful with what we say to others, and more importantly also what we say to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like when stuff happens in my family, we are always like, oh, before we say, oh, it's the devil, or why did God do this to me, like often go back and look at what you said or what you prayed for, because sometimes you can be a victim of either your own words or even looking back a victim of other people's words. I'll put it this way. There's a friend of mine who hated her forehead. She's Kenyan, so I mean, so you're going to have a big forehead. But because she was younger, everyone used to take the piss out of her forehead and just remind her, oh, you have a big forehead. So she, like, as an adult, she would have a fringe or bangs. Cover her hair. And that's just because over time, like, she can't get over those words because they bed. Mm-hmm. They had so much relevance to her sense of beauty. So for her showing her forehead, she couldn't do that because she didn't see herself as beauty. But it's very, what you've just said is
the power of the word, spoken word, especially when it's spoken with an energy, There are different ways you can say, okay, I don't love you, And another difference is really say, I hate you, you know, with a lot of
energy
emotion.
Into it,
And then the emotion, what is it emotion? It's energy, emotion, energy in motion. So it covers that energy of the spoken words to the person you speak with. So it's very important how we speak to ourselves. There is a saying, something like, be careful how you speak to yourself because you're listening.
Yeah, I also always say be careful of the E before the emotion, which you've just said, the E is the energy. So, like, if you're negative, that's going to dictate you might end up crashing your car. And sometimes, and then sometimes even if you're overexcited, you might not be paying attention to things you need to. So you've got to pay attention to the energies around you.
And especially just one moment, and especially very important, how the parents speak to their children, with what emotion and energy they speak with to their children.
That's true.
And they say you are your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are your thoughts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. So even if you don't vocalize, what you're thinking defines so
exactly.
much.
If you're thinking like, I cannot do this job, you know, I'm not worthy. Yeah, I'm not qualified to do that. No, the people who are higher than me. Yeah, mm-hmm. you kind of diminish yourself. You put yourself down. Mm-hmm. Of course, you will stay down. You will never go up.
Yeah. And
change your thinking, change your life.
Yeah. So, you know, we are talking about African women. You're Kenyan. So Kenyan women. So there's so much maybe in terms of how you grew up and how you've seen women grow up here. So we don't talk like that. We don't put ourselves before men who are probably elders. So how do you think all these, you know, things that have been conditioned in us and we've been told, don't do this, do this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're 30 and you have not been married, you're a failure. And then you're building your career like Ketanji, that, you know, she has to do 100 times the work to be the first black woman to be in the Supreme Court in the States. So, you know, we have to overwork. And this takes, the best of our mental health. So where do we start as African women, as Kenyan women? Where do we start looking for help? And what are resources out there for us?
You know, a very easy resource which doesn't require any money, any investment, is your social circle. Women are much more likely to build very tight social circles than the men, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So have a group of friends, not the one who envy you or jealous of you, but really like you girls, you know, really true friends. You have difficulties, then go to your friends, air it out. You'll find probably they will give you advice, maybe not be suitable to you, but it will give you a different way of thinking. They will uplift you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will hold you. Yeah, there is a beautiful song about like holding me on. That's the first one. Second one, Google is your friend. Search it. Yeah. What can you do for your mental health? Mental health is not only in your head. It's also in your body. Mm. Start the gym. Start some routine practice. There is a Buddhist monk who is visiting, and I took an appointment with him. He's a healer in sixth generation. So he told me what my problems are, and he says one of them is stress. Well, I'm also under stress, And he says it's very simple practice. What you do in the morning, wake up, you know, take your ablutions before you're ready to go into the world. What normally we do in the morning? I have to do this, that, and that, and that, Take 2 minutes, sit down, close your eyes, and quieten your mind, quieten yourself. Imagine yourself in a place of nature, your favorite place of nature.
Ocean.
Please, ocean, someone, maybe a field for someone at top of the mountain. And just stay in your mind. Stay in that natural place. Feel the wind, like see the skies. Smell maybe the flowers or the breeze, ocean breeze, hear the palms, whatever it is. Take 2 minutes and it will greatly decrease your stress level. And then you go to see the world. It's like, you know, we're rushing up in the morning. Okay, we make ourselves physically beautiful. Yeah, we comb our hair, we put a makeup.
Oh, yeah.
But we never make our minds beautiful.
The inner makeup. Wow.
Exactly. Inner makeup, it gives me shivers.
That's pretty good.
And then, of course, Google. Do some yoga. Mm-hmm. For example, physical exercise, whatever you like. Mm-hmm. Walking, yoga. Even by the jumping ball, you know, like round one.
Yes.
And sit, and when you sit at the computer, not on the seat, like frozen to the seat.
Yeah.
So start with your body. And then find the groups of interest. There's so many resources now on the internet, go to different trainings, even online. There's so much online trainings now for for your mind, for your tranquility, how to become a better parent, how to progress in life, how to build your career, how to make even short videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's so much you can learn. And of course, if you really, really can't make it on your own, just find a therapist. There's so much.
How can they find you?
I have a Facebook page. I haven't built my own website yet. I don't know how much time it will take me to build. So by my name, Natalia Sikalova, you find me on the Facebook.
Okay.
There is amazing resource in Kenya. It's called Conscious Kenya. Just Google it, you find it. And the different holistic practitioners, certified good practitioners of different modalities. Try. You don't have to stick with one modality. Try different ones, whatever suits you. And go for it.
Until you find what works.
Yeah.
As we wrap it up, give us one quote or motto that helps you navigate through challenges of life.
Oh, it's quite unprepared. I didn't think about... I think the simplest, stay in the present. Stay in the present.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Maybe not so in the present, stay present. Present to whatever is happening around you. Yeah. When you are present... will be able to assess the situation and act accordingly.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Be present. Be present.
That is very nice. And I think in a world that is so busy, one of the things you didn't say, one of the things that people do when they wake up is jump on the phone, check WhatsApp or whatever, social media. And so a lot of people are physically in the world, but mentally in some Facebook world, Instagram world. So it's been amazing talking to you. I've learned so much. I think my parting shot for today would be my favorite quote, which is the art of living lies in the fine mingling of learning when to let go and when to hold on. You have been listening to...
Wow. You repeat that. Repeat that.
The art of living lies in the fine mingling of learning when to let go and when to hold on.
Wow. And for me, adopt the pace of nature. It's peaceful and calm. Yes.
And let's work on that inside beauty.
Yes. You've been listening to the Overreact podcast. You can catch this episode tomorrow. It will be dropping digitally across all the podcasts. Google, Anchor, Apple,
Spotify,
SoundCloud. And then all the other episodes from 1 to 12, they are on our platform. So it's an invitation to overreact with us, whether you have ovaries or not. So girls,
let's overreact.